Good morning, We Talk Radio. We are getting ready to go live. I want to thank y'all for tuning in to us. Let's get ready to enjoy this word on Palm Sunday. Good Sunday morning. Good Sunday morning to everybody out there, for this is the day that the Lord has in fact made. I am Pastor Jeremy Glenn, pastor of this wonderful church called Spirit of Inspiring Love Church. And I just want to thank you for joining us again for another wonderful, dynamic, wonderful word on today. I want y'all to bear with me here as I've been still battling some sinus issues here. But you know what? The Bible says that as we go, we are healed. And I thank God for healing and restoration. And I'm not going to let that slow me down. So I may not sound the same, but the word is going to come forth and the word is still going to speak into your spirit, regardless to how it may sound just a little bit different. But bear with me here as we're going to make it through this message and give God all of the glory. I just want to thank y'all for spending a small segment of your time with us on today. And I want to thank y'all for tuning in with us for this wonderful word on not just Indy Sunday, but on Palm Sunday. I just want to thank all of you. I want to thank my lovely wife. We just celebrated another wonderful wedding anniversary. Thank you, sweetheart. Love you very much. And just God is doing some wonderful, wonderful things here. And let me tell you something. When we talked about birthdays a couple of weeks ago and other anniversaries that come up, y'all, let's don't take those things for granted, because it is God that allows us to be able to live to see another wonderful day and another wonderful year, especially after everything that we've come through over the past few years. We do want to make sure that we give God thanks and all the glory for everything he's done. I thank God for another wonderful wedding anniversary with the love of my life. And I thank God for everything he's doing for you in your life as well. So as we've said today, we know that today is Palm Sunday. It's Palm Sunday today. And Palm Sunday, just want to give a little background on that on this morning. It's the day that represents the prophecy that was fulfilled by the prophet Zechariah hundreds and hundreds of years before Jesus came. And in Zechariah, as you could see the slide, in Zechariah 9:9, New King James Version, he talks about that. As you can see right there, Zechariah 9:9, he talks about this coming of the great king of Israel, who would one day be coming into Jerusalem on a colt, the foal of a donkey, to represent God saving his chosen people. God is all about having prophecies. God is all about us understanding what is yet to come. God has always had a messenger in a season to let his people know what is yet to come. And so after hundreds and hundreds of years, the people of Israel were waiting on this coming Messiah. They were waiting to finally see who the Savior is. They were waiting for this very moment, and they were anticipating the coming King of Israel. And so therefore, this prophecy was highly anticipated for hundreds and hundreds of years. Now, this was, in fact, a triumphal moment. The people of Israel were really and truly looking forward to this moment. The coming of the king, as he would enter into the holy temple as the coming Messiah, is something that they awaited for hundreds of years. Now, again, there was a great anticipation for this moment. In fact, here's a special, unique thing that I want us to understand about this moment, is that this biblical event is one of the very few events where all four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, all four Gospels recorded this event. That's how unique it was. And what I want us to understand is it was unique because not all of them, here's the deal, not all of them recorded Jesus raising Lazarus from the dead. Not all of them recorded Jesus turning water into wine. Not all of them recorded the genealogy of Jesus, and not all of them recorded Jesus walking on water. So as you can understand, this was very significant. It was captivating. It was a biblically historical moment that solidified Jesus as the coming Messiah. The holy king and the coming of the Messiah was something that the people of Israel were awaiting. So what I want us to do here, I want us to hear from the Word of God. And we're going to talk about this account coming from the disciple by the name of Mark. We're going to hear what Mark has to say about this unique moment here as we're talking about Palm Sunday and the significance of Palm Sunday. So if you've got your Bibles, I want you to open your Bibles with me. We're going to go into Mark, which is in the New Testament, okay? Which is in the New Testament, the right hand, right? Okay, the left hand, the Old Testament, the right hand, the New Testament. Okay, and we're going to open up with Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. So go to that third, Matthew, Mark, okay, the second of the four Gospels. Go into Mark, okay? And let's go into Mark chapter 11, verses 1 through 2. Mark chapter 11, verses 1 through 2. And let's hear Mark's account of this divine holy moment so that we can learn and hear what God needs for us to know and to apply into our lives. All right here. So as you can read right there, I want us to read here coming from the New King James Version of the Bible. And it states, reading in verse 1, now when they drew near Jerusalem, and this place here is called Bethphage, okay? To Bethphage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples. Verse 2 says, and he said to them, this is Jesus saying, and he said to them, go into the village opposite of you. And as soon as you have entered it, you will find a colt tied on which no one has sat. Loose it and bring it. How many of us want God to loose something in our life and to bring in his glory? How many of us want God to loose whatever it is that we're experiencing in our life and to bring forth his glory in our life? When God says to loose it and to bring it, you better know and understand that the word will not return unto him void. So our message on this Palm Sunday day, as you can see the slide up on the screen here, is untouched and ready to serve. Untouched and ready to serve. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you so much for this wonderful day. We thank you for your wonderful word. Lord, we thank you because whatever the enemy meant for bad, Lord, you certainly turn into good, Lord. You said, Lord Jesus, that all things work together for the good, the good, the good, the good, the good of those who love you, who are called according to your purpose. And we thank you for the good that's going to come from this word. We thank you from the good from everything that we experience. We thank you for the good, Lord Jesus, that is being shown on our lives each and every day. And we thank you for everything that you're doing, Father God. Lord, we ask that you speak this word through all of us, Lord Jesus, with the conviction, with the conciseness, Lord, that we can have our lives elevated, Lord, to be able to live our best lives. In the name of Jesus, Lord, Heavenly Father, I ask that your gifts pour down, they shower down. Give us the gift to be able to hear. Give us the gift to be able to speak and allow a soft heart so that the word can be planted and received on soft soil so that we can grow into the fruit that you need us to become. In the mighty name of Jesus, Lord, we love you and we thank you for this wonderful day and your word on today in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. And as my mentor, Bishop Jake, says now, let's go to work. Let us go to work. Let's get into the meat and the potatoes here. Bear with me one second as I sip on some warm tea and I'm getting ready to take us on a journey. All right. Thank you everybody for joining us on this morning. Those that have tuned in on Facebook, that are watching us on YouTube, that listen on We Talk Radio and Soil Church and Online Church, I want to thank you with all of my heart for just giving us a small segment of word pouring into your life on this Sunday morning. Now, here's what I want us to understand. Jesus, he understood his purpose. Regardless to the highs and the lows of the situation that presented themselves to him, he stayed focused. He stayed laser focused, y'all. And he kept his eyes on the ultimate prize. And this is something, in fact, that we can all learn from Jesus, that regardless to the highs that we experience in our life, as well as the lows that we can experience in our life, we have to keep our eyes on the prize and keep our eyes focused on what thus said the Lord. Now, the Apostle Paul, and you guys know how much I love me some Paul. And the Apostle Paul, he said it best in Philippians 4:11, coming from the King James Version, as you can see it sliding across the bottom of your screen right now. For I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. He says, I have learned in whatever state I'm in to be content. He learned it by watching Jesus, by understanding Jesus. And when Jesus can be content, regardless to whatever state that he's in, that means that he is now being that example for us to be content with whatever state that he's in. Content when you are experiencing your highs. Content when you're also experiencing your lows. Content whether they like you today, and content whenever they can't stand you tomorrow. When you're purpose driven, you live a life to where you stay focused and you're attached to that purpose. Because something that I want us to understand here with the highs and the lows that we can experience in our lives, don't get too high on the Hosanna that you forget about the coming crucifixion. I'm going to say that again for them sitting way in the back. Don't get too high on your Hosanna that you forget about the coming crucifixion. Jesus said, in this world, we will have trials. We're going to have tribulations. Okay? But to give joy because he has overcome the world, but it does not stop us from having trials and tribulations. Okay? And God said that, he said that, you know, whatever it is in our life, right, that we're going to experience in our life, right? Okay? To think of it. Paul reminds us to think of it, right? To think on the best, not the worst, the good, not the bad. So he is telling us as we live our life to stay content. It's not always going to be bad. And sometimes goodness doesn't always happen, but we have to make sure we keep our eyes laser focused on the prize. This is what Paul learned from Jesus, and this is what we all have to learn from Jesus. I may not be right now feeling my absolute best right now, but I'm keeping my eyes focused on the prize. I'm not going to let a little infirmity, right, this little infirmity here that the enemy wants to throw on me to stop me from filling my divine purpose, okay? Because one thing that I want us to understand is when we push on and press through, the enemy has to scratch his head. He has to go back to the drawing board because he cannot stop you from doing what God has called you to do. I'm already preaching this morning here. Whatever it is that you are experiencing in your life, you keep your eyes focused on the prize and don't allow yourself to get distracted by the fiery darts of the enemy. You're laser focused. You're intentional. And you don't have time for all of the nonsense because you know that you have a purpose to fulfill. Now, of course, just like everything, as we grow in the Word of God, it takes time to develop this type of mindset. This type of mindset, ladies and gentlemen, doesn't come overnight. Okay, as I was sharing with one of my friends the other day, the reason why it's a measure of faith. We grow from faith to faith to faith to faith, glory to glory to glory to glory, because it steps. We grow. Jesus said, even if you have a seed, you know, as small as a mustard seed, that's all you need, because he understood that that faith is going to continue to grow. So it's not even about the seed. It's about all the potential and what that seed is going to become. So whatever you are today, you may not be where you want to be, but you are in fact where you are in seed form. This is what I want us to understand on today, that it's time for us, ladies and gentlemen, to get prepared for the next steps of our lives. Because Jesus, speaking of preparation, Jesus spent 30 years preparing for three dynamic, impactful years of ministry. And it took him 30 years to get prepared for those significant days. And as you see our first slide up here on this morning here, it says that preparation lays the foundation for purpose. Preparation lays the foundation for purpose. This is what I want us to understand, because here's the deal. And we can all be guilty of this at times. Sometimes we try to put a stopwatch on God. But God knows when it's time for us to move forward with our purpose. And God also knows when we're ready for our name to be called for that next moment. When it's time, ladies and gentlemen, for you to move forward with your purpose, He's conditioned you for it. He's gotten you well antiquated and ready for that moment. If you guys remember, we had a series last year called The Power of Strength. And one of the things we talked about during The Power of Strength is that you're being conditioned for the mission. Okay, put that in a chat because somebody needs to be reminded of that. We are constantly being conditioned for the mission. And when we understand that we're being conditioned for the mission, we know that God is going to know when we're ready for that next step. That right there just freed somebody because somebody was getting weary in well-doing. But I come to speak a word of you on today to just continue with your conditioning. Because God knows when you're ready, and He knows the mission that He has for you. Jeremiah 29:11. He knows the mission that He has for you. Okay. Those plans to bring you hope and to bring you a future. So don't get relaxed. Don't get upset. Don't get frustrated because you're being conditioned. And what I want us to understand is it's in the practice. It's in the preparation. It's in all of those things that get us ready for the next step where we find God in all of those situations, okay? So what I want us to understand, He's gonna know, ladies and gentlemen, when you're ready, and He will send you a sign to let you know when it is your time. That's right. God will send you a sign to let you know when it is, in fact, your time. But what are we to do in the meantime? What are we to do when we know we've got a significant moment? Okay, just like Jesus coming into the holy temple. What do we do when that time is not right now? What are we supposed to do? What are we supposed to think? Okay, what do we do when we feel that our season of preparation may just be taking too long? What are we supposed to do when it seems like everyone all around us is starting to move to that next level? You're starting to see doors open for them. You're starting to see them become blessed. And you feel as if you're stuck sitting on the spiritual bench. What are you supposed to do when everything else going on all around you represents growth and development, and you may be in the same space on today? I want you to think about that for a second. Think about what are we supposed to do. But on today, what I want us to understand, on this Palm Sunday morning, I want you to not get weary in waiting while doing, okay? I want you to not get weary in waiting while doing. I want you to understand that I don't want you to get weary while waiting well doing, because here's what I want you to see here. That next slide says up on this morning here, don't get weary in waiting while well doing. In other words, don't get tired in the waiting. Don't get tired in the waiting. Because as you remember in The Power of Strength, we said, while we're waiting, we're growing, we're developing, okay? God is waiting on us and we are waiting on God. There's this period of growth and development that's happening before we can now use and execute the strength that He has given us. Because while we're waiting, He's building us. While we're waiting, He's strengthening us. While we're waiting, one thing I want you to understand, He is helping you to develop the pain tolerance that's going to come along with that next level of blessings. Sometimes, yeah, I'm going to divert away from some things right now because I need to speak to somebody's spirit. Sometimes we think we may be ready for something, but we haven't developed the pain tolerance. Jesus had to experience what it was like to be neglected, what it was like to be talked about, what it was like to be betrayed, what it was like to be turned against, so that the power of the crucifixion could be relevant for all of us. He had to get us ready for it. He has to get us built for it. He has to allow us to be able to develop the pain tolerance to happen that comes with all that's getting ready to come into that next level, because sometimes we may be too sensitive to handle what it is that God wants us to have. Sometimes we may still be in the infantile state of mind when some things may come our way. Maybe we're just not spiritually mature enough to be able to handle what it is that God needs for us to be ready for. So we have to understand there is joy in waiting. Know that he's conditioning us. Know that he's getting us ready, because nobody jumps from a pool to a pond. You have to grow from glory to glory and faith to faith. So I want you to not get weary while you're waiting, and definitely don't get weary in well doing. Ladies and gentlemen, don't move ahead of God. And don't get tired of being where he has you right now. Because one day soon, he's going to send two of his disciples to come look for you. And when they come look for you, he's going to call your name, and he needs you to be untouched and ready to serve. That time is going to happen sooner than you think. That time when he's ready to call your name and you're ready for your next level is going to come faster than you think it will. But what I want us to understand, it's all about being prepared. So when he sends two of his disciples after you, he's going to loose your situation and bring you forth. And you ought to be untouched and ready to serve. Are you ready to serve on today? Are you ready to do what God needs for you to do? Are you too concerned about the other things that may be going on around you? Or are you ready to be having your name called by the Holy Father? That's a question that I want to ask you on today, because only you know, and of course God knows, but only you know if you're ready to be served and if you're ready to serve our Holy Father. Now, what I want us to understand here, we can learn a lot from a lot of different things on today, but today, of all things, we're going to learn about a donkey. That's right. We're going to learn about a donkey. When I think about a donkey, I go back to some of my childhood cartoons. The first one that comes to mind is Winnie the Pooh. Winnie the Pooh comes to mind because he has a donkey called Eeyore. And Eeyore got his name because of the sound that Eeyore makes. That Eeyore sound. The sound of a donkey is not a very pleasant sound. And as a matter of fact, donkeys are known for having such a distinct sound, and it's kind of a nerve-wracking sound. And no one wants to be around a donkey that's just constantly Eeyoring, right? No one wants that. But what I want you to understand, it's not about the sound when it comes to God choosing you. It's not about what may be appealing to man when God says that he's ready to call your name. It's not about where you may think that Jesus would have chose a strong lion that had the bravery of the roar. Or he could have chose a nice stallion with all of the elegance that a stallion brings. He could have chose an animal with stripes like a tiger or a zebra. He could have chose the largest of elephants and beasts in the field. But why do we think Jesus chose a donkey? Why do we think that Jesus chose a young colt? This is what I want us to understand here, because Zechariah says here in Zechariah 9:9, that he calls it a colt, the foal of a donkey, that will escort and carry forth the King of all kings. So I want to make sure that we're clear on exactly what it is that Jesus is riding and why, because there is some significance in symbolism, and there is some symbolism in God's significance. Anytime God is getting ready to do something significant, he has symbolism that represents the significance, right? I want you to put that in the chat. When God is getting ready to do something significant, he has symbolism that attaches to the significance. God is all about symbolisms. This is why we have to look for God. This is why we have to keep our minds focused, because he's always showing us things. Oftentimes we're asking God, Lord, send me a sign. And sometimes it's right there in front of us and we don't see it. This is the reason why we say we were once blind, but now we see. And sometimes we have to understand God has given us symbols to represent the significance. There is some significance here with this symbolism, and we're certainly going to talk about that here in just a moment. So a foal, let's talk about that. Let's talk about why a donkey. Of all the animals of the world, why a donkey? Let's talk about what a foal is. A foal is a young equine, in this case, a donkey, okay, coming from the equine family, the horse family, right? That whole family of horses and ponies and that whole group, right? Okay, zebras, everything comes from that equine family. A foal is a young equine, or in this case, it's a donkey that's less than a year old. Okay, very, very young, less than a year old. There is some significance in being young, and we're going to attach. Some of y'all might know where I'm going with this. As a colt, okay? And a colt, an equine, is of male gender. That's what a colt, it's a male gender. So it's a young male donkey is what we're talking about now. Okay, so this was a young male donkey that Jesus selected to ride during his grand entrance into the Holy Temple in Jerusalem. Think about that. I want us to think about this because this is something that has always captivated me. Why a donkey? Why the foal of a colt and a donkey? Why? Why? Why is this? He could have chosen anything, as I mentioned, but he chose a donkey. Now, what I want us to understand here, there is significance in a donkey because what I want us to understand is donkeys, especially young donkeys, are known to be very stubborn. They kind of remind you of somebody, right? Okay. They're known to be very stubborn, but yet they're very intelligent. If they could just get past their stubbornness, they could be very, very intelligent. How many of us have had young children that if they could just stop getting in their own way, they've got the brilliance to be able to be great, but sometimes they're just too stubborn and they get in their own way sometimes. So you would think that a donkey, especially a donkey that's never been ridden on before, it would be natural to know and to understand there would be some kickback and some pushback the moment that Jesus wants to get on this donkey. Because even when the two disciples went and got this donkey, okay, they loosed him and they brought him forth, they still didn't ride the donkey because there was significance of it being untouched. Donkeys are known to be stubborn. They're known to kick, fight, scratch, do any and everything when they just want to stand planted and not move on in the direction in which you're making them go. But they are attentive. They are built to work. And they are very intelligent. So what does Jesus want us to understand about the significance of this donkey? Let's set that on a shelf for a second, because again, we talk about their symbolism when it comes to God doing something significant. Somebody else was young and somebody else was untouched that carried forth Jesus. Somebody was untouched that carried forth the Savior into this world. As a matter of fact, it was the mother of Jesus by the name of Mary, who was young and who was untouched, who carried forth the Savior into this world. Mary could have been stubborn. Mary could have kicked. She could have fought. She could have denounced the situation. Because of the fact that she was untouched, how is it that I can bring forth not only just any child, but the King of Kings, and I'm very, very young, but yet Mary was untouched and she was ready to serve. This significant moment of the Holy King coming home into the Holy Temple of Jerusalem is symbolism of Mary bringing forth Jesus into the world. The symbolism of something that is young and untouched and something that could typically have the mindset to be stubborn, to kick and fight, submitted to the Holy King and his purpose to carry him forth into the Holy Temple. There is significance when God is doing great things. There is symbolism when God is doing great things. God will take something that you don't think would typically be aligned with his purpose and allow you to be able to see him work and get the glory out of it. So why a donkey, you may ask? Because a donkey, unridden donkey, of all things, will not allow anything to just get on his back and ride it. A donkey would not be used because it's not the most elegant and it's not the most beautiful of animals, but Jesus didn't get caught up into the highs of the hosannas because a donkey represented the work that he had come to do. He said, I am sent to do the work of my Father, of he that have sent me. So he didn't let the highs of the hosanna take him away from serving. He came to serve. Jesus came to work. He came to be about his Father's business. And that donkey represented the work that the Holy Savior came to do. And so therefore, a donkey is used in a lot of different ways. But most importantly, he was untouched and ready to serve. What I want us to understand here is that Jesus is always doing things through symbolism if we just open our eyes and see. Okay, when he raised Lazarus from the dead, that was symbolizing that he would raise after the third day. Okay, when he chose his disciples, okay, he handpicked them. He said, I am going to make you not just fishers, but fishers of men. This is the reason why he taught in parables. You can think about the parable of the prodigal son, how we all can leave, but yet we'll go through things in life that will bring us back to the open arms of the Father. And I could go on and on and on and on. When Jesus fed all of the more than 5,000, okay, he fed them with the bread and the fish and all those things here, okay. He fished for fishers of men, and he fed them with bread, okay. We've got manna that fell from heaven that fed the people of God, okay, fed the children of Israel, okay. There's always symbolism in everything that God does. Holy Spirit, thank you this morning. But we have to open our eyes and see the things that God is doing. But what I want to talk about on today here is that we understand why a donkey. We understand the symbolism between the Mother Mary and donkey and how Jesus was escorted in as the Holy King. But what I want to do before I close our message on this morning, I'm going to give us three quick points here to talk about the significance of this moment that happened in the Bible. I want to give us three significant moments here that happen about why we celebrate Palm Sunday here. So what I want to do here is I want to give us three quick points here, and I'm going to be out of your way here just to make sure that we understand everything that God needs for us to understand. So what I want us to do here, let's look at the screen here. We're going to go into point number one on this morning. And point number one is, what the significance of this moment is, Jesus wasn't ashamed of who he handpicked. Okay, Jesus was not ashamed of who he handpicked. Jesus chose a donkey, which means that Jesus doesn't care, ladies and gentlemen, about your looks. He doesn't care about your looks. He cares about your purpose. As long as you are not ashamed of him and his word, he will not be ashamed of you. He's going to go to the Father on your behalf and continue to plead your case because he is not ashamed of you, as long as you're not ashamed of him. Luke 9:26, the King James, the New King James Version says right here, it says, for whoever is ashamed of me and my words, of him the Son of Man will be ashamed when he comes in his own glory and in his Father's, and of the holy angels. This is what I want us to know and understand. As long as you're not ashamed of Jesus, he's not ashamed of you. It's not about your looks. It's not about your inabilities. It's not about how you might sound. It's not about where you think you might be underclassified or qualified, or where you may not have the experience. Jesus is not ashamed of you. And therefore, you don't need to be ashamed of Jesus. He was not ashamed to ride in, being the holiest of holy kings. He was not ashamed to ride on a donkey because, again, he didn't get caught up into the hosannas because he knew the crucifixion was right around the corner. So number one is Jesus wasn't ashamed of who he handpicked. And I want us to understand that on this morning. And what I want you to understand here too is that God is going to use you for his purpose. He's going to use you for the highest of moments. So make sure that you're in position of submission, just as a donkey was. Be in position of submission and ready for your mission, okay? Be in position of submission and ready for your mission. This is what this is all about, ladies and gentlemen. It's not about the fancy car that you drive. It's not about the nice clothes that you wear. It's not about all those other things. What I want us to understand is to be in position of submission and ready for the mission. Are you ready for your mission on today? Are you living a life in position to be used? Are you ready to carry forth the plans that the King of Kings has for you? You want to make sure that you're in position of submission and ready for your mission. All right. Okay. Point number two is the donkey shows us the benefit for submitting to the authority of Jesus. There is a benefit, ladies and gentlemen, of submitting to the authority of Jesus. This is what this donkey shows us. You didn't think you could learn a lot from a donkey. This donkey is teaching all of us on today. God will use any and everything to teach a lesson, to grab a symbol, to help us to understand. He'll use the praising of the trees. He says the rocks will cry out. Don't think it's strange, because God will use anything to teach the people that he needs to learn the lessons that needs to learn. Okay. So point number two is that donkey shows us the benefit, okay, for submitting to the authority of Jesus. What did we just talk about a few minutes ago? This donkey had never been ridden before. It had never been ridden before. But when it was time for him to be used, experience didn't matter. It didn't matter that he hadn't had experience. It didn't matter that donkey didn't know what it was like to be ridden on. None of it mattered, because what I want us to understand is when you're called and when it's time, you move forth. The Holy Spirit is going to move forth through you. So it's not all about you trying to make sure that you've got all the fancy bells and whistles, that you've got everything that you need. Leave room for God to do something in your life. Somebody put that in a chat this morning. Leave room for God to do something in your life. If you don't leave room for the king, then how can the king occupy his space? If you don't leave room for the king to operate in your life, what room are you leaving Jesus to work in your life? What room are you leaving the Holy Father to be able to work things and to do wonderful things into your life if you feel that you got to play God? If you feel that you can fix everything and you can do everything and that you can do everything in the way that it needs to be done and you don't need nobody else, what room are you leaving for the king? And what room can a king have to work on your behalf? Some of us can get in our own way sometimes. We try to pre-qualify our abilities and try to fix things up in a way that we think God wants them to be fixed, in order for us to be used in a way that God wants for us to be used. But I want you to don't just take it from me on this morning. I want you to listen to the Apostle Paul here and what the Apostle Paul is telling us in Romans 8 and 30, coming from the New King James Version of the Bible. He says, moreover, whom he predestined, these he also called. Whom he called, these he also justified. Some translations say qualified. And whom he qualified, or who he justified, these he also glorified. It is God that does the qualifying. It is God that does the justifying. It is God that knows that when you've been conditioned for your mission and that you're ready to step into that next level, it's not about what man and what people think and the qualifications that people try to put on you. God has his own set of qualifications in which no man can qualify like God. This is what I want you to understand. And what we have to do, ladies and gentlemen, is we have to trust God has all of our qualifications. We have to trust that God has all of our qualifications and he has everything that he needs according to his riches and glory. He's given us everything that we need according to his riches and his glory in Christ Jesus. God is no shortage of qualifications. God is no shortage of riches and glory. God doesn't stop handing out blessings and qualifications and everything that we need. We just have to understand that we have to be patient. We have to allow God to grow us. We have to continue to be conditioned. We have to continue to learn to develop that pain tolerance. He has to take us and he has to let us know what it's like to dance in the fiery furnace like the three Hebrew boys. We have to know what it's like to be shipwrecked. Like Paul said, this is the reason why Paul knew, hey, I am not going to lose my mind when I'm in lack. I'm not going to think too highly of myself when I have everything that I need, because I am going to learn that whatever state that I'm in, all right, I'm already ahead of myself. I am going to be content regardless to my situation. But Paul said one key thing that he said in that, I have learned. When we're growing through growth and development, we're learning. That's what this is all about. That's what faith to faith and glory to glory is all about. We're learning. We learn at that level. Now we must learn at this next level. Now we must learn at that next level. In college, we have certain courses that call prerequisites. Okay, you don't just get thrown into calculus without learning how to add and subtract first. Okay? You have to learn how to multiply and divide. All of those courses are prerequisites before you can get to calculus and before you can get to trigonometry and geometry and all these other courses there. And this is what God does for us, because God is a God of decency and an order. He's not going to give you a Daniel in a lion's den situation and you haven't been tending the sheep like a young David. Okay, he's not going to give you the crucifixion assignment and you didn't spend 30 years learning how to get to that point. God loves you too much to put you in a situation. And I'm speaking to somebody this morning. He loves you too much to put you in that situation before you're ready to receive it. He's a loving God. And he loves you and he wants the absolute best for you. And he's not going to send you into a situation that's going to create harm. That's going to create everything that's going to sink your ship. That's going to allow you to become sifted as wheat. He's not going to do that for you because he loves you. Now, he will correct us. He will raise us. He will take us through trials and tribulations, and we're going to become better once we go through those situations. But when it's not God, we don't become better, we become bitter. And God doesn't want you to put you in a situation in your life to where you become bitter, where you lose faith in him, and where you don't think he's nowhere to be found. That's not God. This is what I want us to understand. He loves you too much to give you something that you're not ready for. He loves you too much to take you into a level that you're not qualified for. He loves you too much to send you into a ship and you haven't mastered learning how to drive a boat. God is a loving God, and he will do things in your life in decency and in order. So what I want us to understand, ladies and gentlemen, that we have to trust that God has all of our needs, and that is a benefit for submitting to his authority. Amen? All right, and my last and final point, point number three, here's what I want us to know. There is a time to be stubborn and a time to submit. There is a time to be stubborn and a time to submit. Okay? The Bible doesn't record this, but here's what I want us to understand. It wouldn't surprise me if someone at this point tried to get on this donkey before Jesus called it forth. It wouldn't have surprised me that somebody may have tried to ride that donkey, but that donkey was anchored and it was in position, and whoever tried to get on it, it was like, not for you. It wouldn't surprise me if somebody saw it, this donkey just sitting idle. Hey, I can put him to work. I can do something with it. Hey, I can use this donkey over here. That donkey was sent for an assigned purpose. How many of us in our lives have been in situations where somebody tried to use us? Where somebody tried to get us to ride into a situation before we were ready. Somebody got us out of position. Somebody got us out of focus. And we allowed that to happen. And then we had to come diverted all the way back into the position when all we had to do was to just stay flat-footed and stubborn like that donkey. I'm not going with you. I'm not moving in this direction. You're not going to take me trotting on down there. I'm not going to do this kind of work. I'm not going to do those kinds of things. We can learn a lot from that donkey because that donkey stayed in position. And regardless to where anyone may have tried to do anything, he said, I'm not going anywhere. You're going to be in for the fight of your life if you try to ride me. You're going to be in for a rude awakening. Just because I'm young, you're not going to take advantage of me. Just because I'm young, you're not going to get me to do what you want me to do. God has a divine purpose and a plan in my life, and I am going to stay anchored. And when the time is right, God will let me loose on my mission. That's right. God will let me loose on my mission when the time is right. And this is what I want us to understand. There is a time, ladies and gentlemen, to be stubborn. And there is a time to submit. In the business world, I give you a little bit example about myself. In the business world, I travel often here. I've been traveling here recently and going into different climates and things, which is why my sinuses and other things get infected sometimes. But thank God for the healing and restoration and all of that. And I attend many conferences and different company functions all across the nation. But here recently, someone just asked me this past week, because sometimes when you stick out and people watch you, they watch you. So either sometimes they watch you so that they might accuse you, or they watch you because you really stand out to them. And somebody asked me this past week when I was in Houston, do you drink? Because I don't ever see you drink. Do you drink? And of course, my response was absolutely not. not even wine, not anything. I mean, no alcohol at all. And my response was, I don't drink alcohol at all. I don't have a reason to. Alcohol does absolutely nothing for me. Don't have a reason to, don't have a desire to, don't have a quench to, not at all. And what I want us to know and to understand here, see, ladies and gentlemen, I don't care if even that made me seem like I was lame or didn't fit in with everybody else. Or I don't care if it made me seem as though I was some Mr. Goody Two Shoes or somebody that didn't get in with the in crowd. Because listen, I don't live my life to please people. Okay, I don't live my life to please people. What I want us to understand here is that people and the opinions of people here, let me tell you about people, okay? People, there's two things that people don't have. They don't have a heaven to take you to, and they don't have a hell to throw you in. So why live your life in a way to try to please people when people can't do anything for you regarding your purpose? This is what I want us to understand. So whatever people's opinion about me, this is something that I've learned. Whatever people's opinion about me is absolutely none of my business. That's right. Whatever your opinions are about me and the life that I am living for my holy Savior, that is absolutely none of my business. But what I do want you to understand, what is my business is my Father's business. What is my business is to work the work of He who sent me. What is my business is to make sure the Father's business is taken care of. What is my business is to making sure that I feed on the Word of God and that I'm used according to His purpose. What is my business is that I walk as a light that is shining bright, that I walk in to the path of righteousness that God has, that I am going into the darkness of the world and I am shining that light. And wherever the land is bland, I'm going to sprinkle some salt on that situation. Oh, that's my business, to make sure the Father's business is being advertised, is being recommended, is being shown, is being exemplized. Okay, I want us to all understand that we have a job to do. And when people can ask you, do you drink? That means that you're standing out from the crowd. This is what it means to come out from among them. This is what it means to be sanctified and holy. This is what it means to not walk like you used to walk. To live life with a different walk. That's right. To live life with a different talk. Because when God is being represented through your life, people are going to see that God in your life. And therefore, somebody one day, at some point, at some time, is going to come ask you, do you drink? They need to be able to see a distinguishment in your life. They need to be able to see something that's able to glorify God in your life. They should be able to tell you different than anyone else that's in your life. Because if you're living a life from God, something at some point should show somebody that you're different. I remember this message years ago when I was in Sunday school class. I talked to my wife about it all the time. That was a message that was taught to me as a young teenager. Will you dare to be different? And I still remember that after more than 30 years of my life. Will you dare to be different? Are we ashamed to be different? Are we ashamed to be different? That donkey must have had a lonely life because everybody else was being written on and gone and taken and bought and sold and everything else. And he was the only one that was standing there waiting on his purpose to be fulfilled. How many of us are in a situation where it seems like everybody else is moving on and going on and moving and all that, and you seem to be just right there? I want to tell you something. Don't get weary in well-doing. Don't feel bad about being alone. Sometimes alone is good, because as you and God, and as you and God having that sacred time, and He's getting you ready for your mission, don't you feel lonely? Don't you feel bad? Because it's going to be just a moment after a time where two disciples are going to come after you. They're going to loose you and let you go and free you into your mission. Just know that day is soon to come. Oh, y'all trying to stir some things up this morning. Do you drink? Absolutely not. Do you smoke? Absolutely not. I'm not knocking anybody that does it. I'm talking about the life that I live, because the life that I live is a life that I choose, and I want to do things to the best of my abilities to serve the Holy Father. So whatever I can do to bring some distinguishment from among them, I want somebody to be able to say there's something different about you. There's definitely something different about you. But my beloved brethren, and I want you to understand something, regardless to what people try to say, what people try to do, the influences they try to bring on your life, what you got to understand is you got to be like that donkey, and you've got to be stubborn, because whatever they say about you is none of your business. Don't you get distracted by that. Don't you allow those things to bring you down. Don't you allow those things to get you diverted from the path of righteousness that God has you in. What I want you to do is what I want you to know and to understand on today, you've got to be ye steadfast. steadfast. That's right. You've got to be unmovable. You've got to be always abounding in the work of the Lord. You've got to be planted just like that tree, planted by the rivers of water. And don't let anyone make you move until God says it's time for you to move. Don't let anyone make you move out of your purpose until God says it's time for you to move into your purpose. You've got to be like God told Joshua after Moses, after he took over the reins from Moses. You've got to only be strong and very courageous. Don't you turn to the right. Don't you turn to the left. You keep your eyes focused on the prize so that you can be successful with wherever that you want to go and to be successful. How many of us want to be successful? How many of us want to see God's success in our lives on today? How many of us want to be able to eat of the fruit of success from our Holy Father? How many of us want to know what it's like to live the abundant life? To live that life that Jesus came to give us. Not just life, but life more abundantly. How many of us know that if we could just get past ourselves and we can stop trying to please others and we can stop trying to move outside of the position and purpose that God has for us, we can eat of the success that God has for us in our lives. And we can do everything that God has called for us to do. Because when God says in his word to be fruitful and to multiply, God's multiplication is not our multiplication, okay? God's production is not our production. You know what God's production is? God's production is to be exceedingly, yep, abundantly above all that we can ask or think according to that power that works within us. It is the exceeding and the abundance that's allowing me to preach this morning. When I've got all odds that are against me, when my voice says stay in and rest, when my nostrils say don't give it a try, when my sinuses say what you trying to do this morning, you've got to know what it's like to operate through the power of God and despite the things that come against you. You've got to press on toward the mark. You've got to keep your eyes on the prize. You've got to push through to walk into your breakthrough. You can't let the distractions get you stopped. Because when God says to move forth, God is expecting you to walk forth. God wants you to step out of that boat and meet him out into the Sea of Galilee and watch him walk with you. Watch him walk with you. Watch him talk with you. Watch him show you the directions. Allow him to do those things for you in your life. And when it ain't time for you to move, you better be stubborn and you better stay right there until God says to move forward. And you better be just like that donkey, untouched and ready to serve. Whatever you do in your life, you make sure that God is saying that it is time for you to move. And when God says for you to move, you're going to be conditioned for the mission. And in everything you do in your life, he's giving you the equipment. If we had that picture of the donkey up again, I would point out a couple of things, but you saw that picture of the donkey. That donkey had equipment on his back. There we go. That donkey was ready for his purpose. There was only equipment that was fit for one person to get onto the back of that donkey, because the equipment has to be right. The position has to be right. And the time has to be right to where something even as stubborn as a donkey can be untouched and ready to serve. And if God can use a donkey, ladies and gentlemen, God can certainly use you. Somebody out there wants to be used on this morning. And I just want to pray for you on today, because you want to know what it's like to be able to have that fellowship with God to where he's ready to call you so that you can serve. You'll be in position and ready to move forth, to carry forth that position that God needs for you. To care for that mission that God needs for you, to care for that plan that God needs for you. For whatever God needs for you to do, you're going to be ready. But right now, I want to pray for somebody out there on today. Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you, Lord. I know I wasn't feeling my best, but it ain't about that, Lord. It's about that I gave my best. I did my best, and I did it through you, Father God. And I thank you for the ability, Lord. Thank you for everything. Lord, you are a healing God. You are a manifesting God. Lord, you are on the throne. And because you're on the throne, nothing shall ever go wrong. And we thank you for it on today. Lord, that soul out there, somebody is confused. Somebody is going through pain. Somebody is going through trials and tribulations right now. It wasn't a nice, wonderful, beautiful Sunday morning for somebody out there. But Lord, we know what your word says. You said after we've done all we can do to just stand. To stand strong, stand firm, stand stubborn, and let you, Lord, just like the donkey, lead us into the path of righteousness that you need for us to be led into, Father God. We thank you for everything that you're doing, Lord. You are a mighty God. Despite everything that's going on in our lives, Lord Jesus, you are on the throne, Lord. And as long as you are on the throne, Lord Jesus, everything that needs to happen, that needs to manifest, is going to happen. For that person out there, Lord Jesus, somebody thought this was the end. Whoever it was that thought it was the end, this is the, yes, that was a season of the end, but this is a new beginning. Your best life is yet to come. Your best life is about to come. Your best days are ahead of you. Your best is about to come forth. All right, forget those things which are behind. And I want you, whoever you are, sir, ma'am, I want you to press on toward the mark, because that's where you're getting ready to now. While somebody just, oh, thank you, Holy Spirit. Somebody just got loosed and they got let go. They got set free to walk forward into whatever, God, that you have for them in their life. Lord, help them to walk with a different walk, to talk with a different talk, to move forward into everything that you need for them to do in their life right now in the name of Jesus, to cut forth everything that kept them attached so that it can walk into the freedom. Lord, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. There is freedom. There is freedom to praise you. There's freedom to worship you. There is freedom to do what you've called for us to do. There is freedom, Lord. And I thank you for setting the captive free, for loosing them and letting them go in the name of Jesus. We thank you for them on today, Lord. And we give you all the glory, all the honor. And we thank you for this wonderful Palm Sunday. And thank you for allowing us to not get too high on the hosannas, that we're not aware of the coming crucifixion. And we thank you for everything that you're doing in the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. If somebody out there, I just want you to repeat after me. If you want to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I want you to just say something. Say, Lord Jesus, forgive me of my sins. Lord, I've been a sinner, but I'm running back to you, Father God. I believe that you died and that you rose on the third day with all the power and with all the glory. Thank you for saving me, Lord. I'm your servant, and I am ready to be untouched and ready to serve. If that's you, I want to thank you for joining a team that never loses. This is the dream team. Any team that Jesus is on, we talk about Michael Jordan all the time. No, any team that Jesus is on is the dream team. And I want to thank you for joining the dream team on this morning. And if you're looking for somewhere to plant, to grow, to be nurtured, to be cultivated here, hit me up, info.soilchurch@gmail.com. We've got a meeting that's coming up for all of you that want to join this church. We've got a meeting coming up in May. We're going to send out some information here. It's coming up in May, and I just want to have some conversation with you here. We're going to talk about the church, what the church means, the vision of the church, and all of that. I'm going to send that out. We're going to have a Zoom meeting. It's coming up soon. And all of you that want to officially join this church, I'm ready for you. I'm ready for a strong team that's not afraid, that's not ashamed, that's ready to get out there and make some changes in this world. So we're getting ready, and we're getting ready to come forth very soon. All right. So right now, it's giving time, right? It is giving time. We can't be God-given. We cannot beat God-given no matter how much we try. Y'all remember the song, you just can't beat God-given no matter how much you try. Show God thank you. Show him thank you. If this word was a blessing to you and this word spoke to you this morning, show God thank you. 2 Corinthians 2:19 says, this service, right? Untouched and ready to serve, right? This service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of the Lord's people, but it is also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. If you want to give God thanks, then give. Give and it shall be given unto you. Press down, right? With good measure. Shake, press down, shaking together, running over, okay? Okay, with good measure. With good measure. That means good intentions, right? With good measure. You've got a good heart, okay? Blessed be the cheerful giver. That's what the word of God says, okay? With good measure, press down, shaking together, running over. We talked about those blessings. Now you've got to do something. God's done all the giving. Show God that you're thanking him, okay? It's not about the amount. It's about the heart. It's about the ability to say, Lord, this word blessed me on this morning. Lord, I just want to just give. I just want to just sow a seed into this ministry. We appreciate all of your seeds and everyone. Let's say a quick prayer over the offering. Heavenly Father, thank you for every seed that has been sown that's going to meet every need that needs to be met. We thank you, Lord, for a hundredfold return on every seed that has been sown into this ministry, Lord. This is good ground. And we see the growth every single day, and we thank you for it in the name of Jesus, Lord. I speak a hundredfold return. Lord, I speak miracles. I speak blessings. I speak everything over everybody that's giving in this ministry on today. In the name of Jesus, we love you and we thank you. Amen. Hey, listen, I want to thank y'all for joining us on this Palm Sunday morning. We're going to be back next week with a resurrection message. You don't want to miss next week's message. You don't want to miss next week's message. We're going to do something here. We're going to talk about, for the first time, we're going to do a digital communion. That's right. We're going to have communion. Get your Ritz crackers, get your grape juice, orange juice, all that stuff. We're going to have some communion, online communion next week. We're going to talk about the significance of the blood on next week. You don't want to miss next week's message here. Meet me here 9 a.m. Central Standard Time on next Sunday, Resurrection Sunday morning. And as I always say, don't meet me there, beat me there. Have a fantastic day, folks, and we will see you next Sunday. Take care.